You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. The Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired profiles rocker Mickey Free and his latest release, American Horse. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. Coming in May, Rockwired will be kicking off a special 10-part series of shows entitled Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music. Rockwired will be giving it up for modern music created and performed by some incredible Indigenous artists from throughout the United States and Canada. Rockwired.com and its parent company, Rockwired Media LLC, are 100% American Indian owned, so the creation of Aboriginal Sounds just makes all the sense in the world. One of the people that will be highlighted in this special series is Mickey Free, a Comanche Cherokee rock guitarist with a resume as expansive as his ambition for promoting American Indian music to the mainstream. He is also the founder of Native Music Rocks, an initiative sponsored by the Seminole Tribe of Florida to promote American Indian artists and their work. For the purposes of today's show, we wanted to get to know Mickey Free, the rocker, who has just released his latest CD, American Horse. Rockwired had a chance to catch up with the guy, and you'll hear all that in just a few minutes. From the CD American Horse, here is Mickey Free with his salute to Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child's Slight Return.
Yeah.
From the CD American Horse, that was Mickey Free with Voodoo Child's Slight Return. Visit Mickey at his official website, www.mickeyfree.com, and check out Native Music Rocks at www.nativemusicrocks.com. I had a chance to catch up with Mickey to talk about his life and music and his latest CD, and here's how the interview went. You've also got a great CD out, American Horse, and now that it's out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the end result?
Hey, American Horse to me was a labor of love. Like I said to you, I've climbed the hill, you know. I was in a couple groups that where I won my Grammy and my platinum records and all my accolades and so when I wrote American Horse, you know, I just wanted to do some good bluesy rock and roll and Billy Gibbons, you know, gave me a couple guitars after he heard it and liked what I was doing. He even wrote part of my bio, the introduction part of it. And, you know, I'm very, very happy with how it's been perceived and how it sounds. I produced it. I'm just happy with that record. I think it's probably my best record in writing to date. I do a couple of Hendrix songs on there. We've got a DVD that's coming out probably in about a month. It's called Mickey Free American Horse Live in Hyde Park, featuring Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones. Bill played two songs with us in England. And you know, like I said, it was a labor of love, and if it didn't do anything, I would still be digging that CD because I had some of the best players from Sidney Blackman on it to John Brandt from Cheap Trick, and I was just happy with it, and I still am, man, and it continuously moves forward on that blues rock involvement, and England loves it. There was a write-up in Classic Rock magazine in London, and I covered Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix, Slight Return, and the guy that interviewed it goes, "Now that's how you do Hendrix," and I really like that. I got a kick out of that.
And how do you think this album's different from your previous two releases, Black Moon, Black Sun, and Gypsy Cowboy?
Well, Black Moon, Black Sun was at a time where I was like kind of not digging the music industry. I was real fed up with it, so it was a pretty negative record, that one, by the title, Black Moon, Black Sun. I mean, it was just a dark time. It's like, you know, 90s, late 90s, and everything, for me, was upside down. And Gypsy Cowboy was the beginning of American Horse. Those two records have so much in common because they're my real roots of what I love to write about and my style of writing, which again is blues rock. And, you know, I can honestly say that American Horse is just a continuation of Gypsy Cowboy, which, by the way, Gypsy Cowboy is a name that the fans in England gave me because of the way I dress and big hats and scarves and stuff that I wear. So they called me the Gypsy Cowboy, which I thought was quite nice, you know what I mean? So I named that. But yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I have three Native American flute CDs out as well.
That's right, right after Gypsy Cowboy, right?
Yeah. The Sun Chaser, Sedona Free, and Comanche. And, you know, you can get all those on iTunes as well as Amazon.com too, but that was another side of me. And people, when they hear me play flute, they can't believe it's the same Gypsy Cowboy guy or the American Horse guy that's playing like Hendrix. They're like, "What the heck?" But yeah, that was another side. And I'm Native American. I wanted to play flute, so I put some of those out there. And I love the flute as well.
And what brought about that drastic change from rock to, you know, Native to American Indian flute? What brought that about?
You know, I had just gotten off a tour, and I think 92 or something, 94, of England, and I was in my ranch house in California, and I saw Dances with Wolves on TV. That was the first thing, and I'm like, wow, man, and I'm Comanche and Cherokee, so it started to bring out the horseman in me, and I started to really get involved in powwows and at powwows, I would hear all these flute players play, you know. And then I bought a couple flute CDs of Carlos Nakai and Robert Tree Cody, and man, it just blew my mind how beautiful the sound was and what a flute did, and that was it. And I wanted to learn how to play the flute. Now, I'm self-taught in everything that I do, from guitar to flute to drums to harmonica to timbales to piano to everything. So I picked up the flute and mimicked what I heard on Carlos Nakai CDs, and probably in 6 months I was making my own CDs based upon how I learned from those records. And that's how the Mickey Free Flute Master guy came along. But I love it. It's such a beautiful instrument, man. It just has sounds that can soothe the savage beast. You know, I know why they call it a love flute now, because it's just a beautiful thing.
And talk about how music began for you. How did that start?
That's a crazy one too, man. You know, I grew up in Europe because my stepfather was in the service. So I spent a lot of time in Germany, in Stuttgart, Germany. I lived there for 10 years. And as a young boy, 12 years old, you know, on the TV over there, there wasn't much TV, but I saw like Elvis Presley shows and the Everly Brothers, and they were playing guitars, and I was like really tweaking on guitars. They were so cool, and girls were screaming. That was the main thing. And I was like, okay, that's it. I have to be a rock star. I have to be a musician. I don't want to be anything else. And then I went to see Jimi Hendrix when I was like 12, 13 years old in Germany, because my stepfather's friend had tickets to the show, and his daughter got in trouble. So they gave the tickets to my father, who gave them to my older sister, and she took me with her. And it was a guy named Jimi Hendrix, and it was the most ridiculously cool thing I've ever seen. And I've been like smacked in the head since then. And, you know, I've got over 100 guitars, and a bunch of them are, you know, I've got 3 or 4 Flying V's, a couple hand-painted Flying V's like Jimmy's and Strats and stuff. And Gibson Guitars is even doing a Mickey Free model Flying V called the Comanche Star that's going to come out in the next couple months, which is pretty cool. And music is the medicine, man. You know, music is it for me. You know, I'm one of those guys that all through my career has, especially early on, you know, experimented with drugs and things like that, and it just wasn't for me. You know, drugs are for losers, man. I mean, let's just get that perfectly straight.
Right.
Drugs are for
absolutely
losers. Absolutely. You know, education is power, and that's and Gene Simmons taught me that. And with that put aside, my experimentation in drugs, which was probably a summer, which was non-eventful, started to get really, really high on music, man, and just the sounds and dimensions of music. So it might sound corny, but I'm like a real musician that actually digs music. I write it, I produce it, I arrange it, I record it, I love the studio. I'm like one of those musicians, and I'd rather be in a studio than anywhere else. You know, drugs, forget it. Like, it's like a joke, you know? So for kids out there listening to this, when they hear me on the radio, stay in school, get your education. Education is power. Drugs are for dopes. Forget drugs. Losers do drugs.
Right. And talk about how your paths crossed between you and Gene Simmons. How did that happen?
That was crazy as well. I had just gotten back from living in Europe. I was probably 17, 18 years old. I was in a little band in the Midwest outside of Chicago, a three-piece band, because remember, I was a Jimi Hendrix freak, so I wanted my band to be three-piece. I loved Cream and Hendrix, and that's who I saw in Europe. So I had this little band called Smokehouse in the Midwest, and the manager that was managing me at the time was a booking agent. So he booked this tour with Kiss, Rush, Ted Nugent, REO Speedwagon, and Kiss. And I opened the show, my band did, for like 3 or 4 shows. I would see Gene Simmons. I'd watch him on stage every night. And one night he came up to me in his 6 feet tall monster boots, looking down on me, and goes, "You're a star." And I'm like looking at him like, "Whoa, Bubba." I'm like tripping out. And he goes, "I want you to come to LA and let's see what we can do for you." And then the rest is history. You know, I went out to LA. Gene managed me, and I joined Shalimar, who had tons of hits, as you know, Dancing in the Sheets,
right,
and many more. And then I joined this band called Crown of Thorns on Interscope Records that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley managed. Amazing management. They managed us. And the band had a black lead singer named Jean Beauvoir in the band, and he used to be in a band called the Plasmatics.
With Wendy Williams.
Yep, with Wendy Williams, and he used to sing with Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul. Remember that band?
I don't, Steven, actually. But.
Yeah, it was Steven's band from Bruce Springsteen in the 80s. They had that band. And we were on Interscope, and, you know, we had a huge deal, and Gene and Paul managed us then, too. And Gene mentored me all through my career, which is very crazy. I run my day-to-day rock star business life, a la the Gene Simmons School of Music, I call it.
Visit Mickey at his official website, www.mickeyfree.com, and check out Native Music Rocks at www.nativemusicrocks.com. From his CD American Horse, here is Mickey once again with Lucky Number 7.
Roll that lucky seven. Roll that.
listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Rockwired.com proudly presents the February Artist of the Month in Like and their debut CD. Armed with rock and roll grit and a wicked pop sensibility, Inlike transcends the alternative label and issues epic pop moments tailor-made for audiences demanding more from their music. With songs such as Not So Bad, Forgive Me, and the single Breathe, Inlike is poised to take on the industry on their own rockin' terms. This is Inlike and their debut CD, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Check out Inlike at www.inlikemusic.com or Facebook or MySpace. Put a little Rockwired on ya. Rockwired.com has just relaunched its merchandise page filled with t-shirts, long-sleeved shirts, hoodies, mugs, and caps. Trust me, nothing looks better on the human body than clothing that shows your support of online radio that rocks. All shirts and jackets are available in all sizes and brought to you by Cafe Press. Visit our store at rockwired.com/merchandise.html. All major credit cards are accepted. Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical aptitude since 2005. Welcome back to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired announces the launch of a special 10-part series entitled Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music, coming to rockwired.com in May. One of the artists to be featured in this special series is Comanche Cherokee guitarist Mickey Free, who is also the founder of Native Music Rocks, an initiative by the Seminole Tribe of Florida to promote contemporary Native musicians. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Mickey regarding his long, winding career and his latest CD, American Horse. Here's how the rest of the interview went.
And, you know, being this rocker, then falling into an R&B outfit like Shalimar, what was that like? I mean,
That was like a nightmare, to tell you the truth, because I had no idea who Shalimar was at the time, and I didn't want to play R&B, you know. But Simmons said to me, look, it's a hard time right now in the music business. Join Shalimar, because they were huge then anyway. They had that single out Dead Giveaway when I joined the band, and they were already like the Beatles in Europe and in England, and taking over America too. He said, join Shalimar, and we'll negotiate it so you get two record deals. You'll be a member of Shalimar, and you'll get a solo contract. He says, it'll be like getting into a limousine instead of a taxi cab. And that's how Gene talks, man, and I understood exactly what he meant. I joined Shalimar, and overnight, I got infamous, which is true, you know? And then the rest is history. And then I started doing my own thing, solo album, and I stayed in Shalimar, don't get me wrong, for 10 years. It was quite the run, man. A lot of hits and tours of the world, and it did well for me, and it got me involved and noticed by somebody else, who was Prince. And then Prince wanted me to be in his camp, and I would fly to Minnesota, and Prince would record with me, and I would jam with Prince all over L.A., and he wanted me to do another movie with him right after Purple Rain. But at that time, the manager of Shalimar would not let me out of my contract to go work with Prince. And in retrospect, looking back at it, it was probably the best thing he ever did, because me and Prince really didn't get along and don't get along to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he like a Jehovah's Witness now or something like that?
I don't know what he is, man. He's a hater, because he doesn't like anybody that gives him any kind of run for the money with the ladies. And at that time, I was rolling big with the women. You know,
gotcha.
And I was kind of like a taller version of him. They used to say. He didn't like it. He didn't like it, man. I tried to be his friend, but, you know, he didn't like it. I think he got tired of looking up at me all the time, and I got tired of looking down at him. So, you know, we became not friends. But That's too bad, because he could have done a lot of good for a lot more people than what he did. But that's another story.
Okay. All right. And but talk about your band, the Electric Blues Experience. Talk about, talk about the members of it and what you think they bring to the table that makes it work. Like, well, Cindy Blackman and all them. Yeah, man.
The Electric Blues Experience. Now, you gotta understand, I've got two projects. They call me the Jack White of Native American music. You know, Jack and the White Stripes, but now it's Mickey Free with American Horse. And my other band is the Electric Blues Experience. Okay, there's two different bands. In the Electric Blues Experience, I have John Brandt from Cheap Trick on bass. And drums is a Native American drummer named Hawk, who used to be in Crown of Thorns with Sean Beauvoir and I. Then on vocals is a Cherokee singer that is so unbelievable. Her name is Shay, and she's a Cherokee that I did a single on her, Seminole Wind, and a DVD that's available on iTunes, and she sings with me in the Electric Blues Experience. It's an amazing talent, amazing. You'll be hearing a lot more from her. And then you got me on guitar, and sometimes, you know, I'll have a keyboardist and Hammond organ player in there from Buddy Miles' band. His name is Muggy, and he's just an amazing Hammond organ player. Now, that's the Electric Blues Experience, and that is really, yeah, that's, I call it the Electric Blues Experience because that unit right there plays more bluesy rock than American Horse, i.e., you can find the Electric Blues Experience playing, you know, Jesus Just Left Chicago and some ZZ Top really cool covers and other things that I like to play besides my original stuff. American Horse is my power trio, three piece. That's Cindy Blackman Santana on drums, and I have David Santos from Billy Joel's band on bass. And Cindy is very busy lately after marrying Carlos Santana, of course. So when she can't play, I use a drummer, a very famous drummer named Steve Ferrone, who has played with Clapton. And he's right now, he's Tom Petty's drummer. And the guy is just an amazing monster drummer. At the NAMM show in L.A., I played, and Steve Ferrone played drums with me, and it was just ridiculously good. I'm scheduled to shoot Lopez tonight, March the 10th, in LA with American Horse, which will be quite spectacular. That'll be me, Cindy Blackman, and David Santos. And I'm playing with George Lopez, is going to be at the Hollywood Hard Rock February the 25th doing a stand-up routine. And there's a band playing before him in the Lopez camp. Requested that if possible, could I play one song with him on guitar, because George really wanted to hear me play. And I was like, sure, because George Lopez is really a cool guy. So I'll be sitting in with that band on February the 21st. So, you know, I'm doing some things that are fun. But those are the kind of the definitions of my two projects that I'm known for, the Electric Blues Experience and American Horse, which are my two bands.
I see. And explain, if it can be explained, the creative process for you. How do you go about writing songs? How does that happen?
You know, it's always different. It could be sometimes from a word, sometimes from a song title, sometimes from a lick, sometimes from some chords that I put together. Sometimes it's the way the wind feels across my face when I'm riding my paint horse. I mean, it's just weird for me. You know, it could be about how I feel about certain people in my life, how my heart's been broken, how angry I am. All of those things play important parts in the way I write a song. And nothing is in stone. Most of the time, I wake up in the middle of the night, early in the morning, even 2, 3 in the morning, 4 and 5 in the morning. And I always have a little tape recorder by my bed, and I hum into it, my ideas. I write in my sleep. It's crazy. And I hum the idea in my tape recorder. Then I wake up and I play that tape recorter. And most of the time it's a bunch of snoring. But but every now and then I get a good riff in there, you know? And I write the song based upon that riff. I dream about songs and licks and riffs. It's crazy. And sometimes I have to wake up in the middle of the night and just stumble, if that tape recorder's not there, I stumble for a piece of paper and write, scribble like a phrase down or a lyric down. On the new American Horse CD, there's a song that I wrote called Lucky Number 7, and it's about Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top and myself when we were recording in the Bahamas at a studio called Compass Point Resort. If you listen to those words, it tells the story about, and it's a true story, of me and Billy walking down the street on the way to the studio. Billy sees a conch vendor selling conch fish and tells the vendor, "Hey, I'll roll you for a salad, a conch salad. I'll roll you some dice." Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top saying that to a Bahamian vendor, right? And I'm like, "Billy, just give the guy the money." And Billy's like, "No, it's got to be sporting. We got to have a sporting deal here." And I said, "All right." The guy's looking at us like we're crazy. So Billy rolls the dice, loses, and then the guy rolls a lucky number 7, baby. And that's how, where that song came from, Lucky Number 7. And I wrote it about Billy Gibbons and me in the Bahamas. And a lot of people think that that's Billy Gibbons playing guitar on there. You listen to it when you have time. It's called Lucky Number 7. It's number 2 on the CD, but that's me playing guitar, and Billy's in the studio, but I'm playing the guitar. He's one of my favorite guitar players. He gave me his signature Billy Bow, red Billy Bow model guitar while we were in the studio. But that's all I write, man. It's crazy. It just depends, you know?
What would you like a person to come away with after they've heard this CD, American Horse?
You know what? I just want them to come away with a feeling of like listening to some real classic rock and roll blues. Like, yeah, man. Like a breath of fresh air that's different from all the stuff that's going on in music today, i.e. all the sound-alike records that are on the radio. I mean, there's, I don't want to say any names, but there's probably like 3 girl singers out there now. If you put their record on for me right now, I couldn't tell you which one was singing it, because they all sound the same. Everything in America, yeah, which sucks, man. Everything is the same. I would just like somebody, and that's what most people say, "Man, we love your record, Mickey. It's not anything like anything that's out there now. We're so glad that there's somebody out there that's still writing songs and still playing guitar like a rock and roll guitar player, like Aerosmith, you know, like Zeppelin, like ZZ, you know. Those are real rock and roll bands, and they could care less if they're in style, as I could care less. But, you know, it's music to us, and it's music the way we hear it. And the nice thing about it is there's a lot of people that still dig that, and I like it.
Visit Mickey at his official website, www.mickeyfree.com, and check out Native Music Rocks at www.nativemusicrocks.com. From his CD American Horse, here is Mickey once again with Wounded Knee.
Crying for the
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Mickey Free and to Erica Price of Native Music Rocks. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush. Remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.